This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
In the conversation, wow, this was a real one today.
But was it really real?
It's still real to me, damn it!
It's time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah. This is In the Conversation, and I'm Damian Lemon, and as always, on my right-hand side, I got...
El Coronel, El Capitán, Vladimir Camaño.
Woo-hoo! And on my left-hand side, I got...
You know you got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, in here.
Ah, shit.
What's with all these voices?
I'm just out here just living life, man.
Okay.
That was supposed to be... You know what that was? What record is that? It was the Inner Visions album... Stevie Wonder, I think it's either the first record, it might be Living in the City, and it go,
I'm just trying different shit,
you know.
It was like New Jack City had that in there, that's when it was going down.
Oh, Living, oh, does it have, yeah, that's a hard record. Inner Visions as an album is fantastic.
If you got a vision all over your shirt.
Oh, yeah. Got a lot of
eyeballs. A lot of eyes. Looking at me. All eyes on me.
It is. All eyes on me. Exactly.
Is a boss player until the day I die.
Okay. I thought you had more rap.
Oh, Tupac, I knew.
Oh, okay.
He ain't know enough.
Okay.
Tupac, I knew.
That's what that dude.
He started spitting that shit like he was alone in jail.
Hey, he want my man off Twitter to get off his ass.
Oh, calling him the safest Dominican?
The most PG Dominican I know.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know what? It's all about expectations and what the criteria is for crazy. Uh-huh. I think it's because I know who you're talking about. I want to shout. I'm gonna shout him out right now. I'm gonna get his name, but it's the criteria for crazy. You know, my crazy is not what his crazy is. We have different levels of crazy. I think my crazy is
flip flops
in my own shower. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Real crazy.
Don't shout him out. He knows who he is.
He know who he is.
You know what I mean?
Shout out to him for listening, though. We appreciate that.
He be on your ass every week.
He do be on my ass, man.
He's a fan. That's your.
He's a fan. I appreciate him listening.
He keep you honest, though. He keep you honest.
Man, I'm trying
absolutely.
My hardest.
Shout out to him.
Trying my hardest not to bite into this muncho. This shit is so crunchy.
It's over for the muncho.
I'm a chill.
Ain't no mute.
We got some munchos in the building. Took it back, an old school snack. You know, I ran into these at the spot, and they are crunchy as shit. But anyway,
I was like, munchos is like the kosher pork rind.
The pork rind alternative.
The pork rind alternative.
Interesting. What y'all think about that shit? Like, this is one thing I don't like. Right. The pork rind alternative, right? Or, because what made me think about this shit is recently these people from the milk corporation, I guess the people behind milk, I don't know, dairy farmers, whatever, the people behind milk, they've been coming at like the people that do like almond milk and cashew milk and all that shit because they like, nuts don't make milk. But you know, there's not, you can't get milk out of a cashew. So why are you still trying to sell your product by leveraging milk to do it? But you see so much of that shit. You go to like,
spaghetti
and wheat balls or these fucking, there's this Impossible Burger that's a vegan burger, but they put something in it that makes it bleed like meat. It makes it feel like meat. But my thing is, if you don't fuck with meat, why are you
even want to be associated
all these
with meat?
Equivalents.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's interesting. What do you think about people that are supposed to be the alternative, but they use...
It's like famous Ray's and not Ray's.
That's crazy. I guess so.
I mean, everybody... I was telling... We was in not Ray's the other day, me and my daughter. And it was a... You know, I was just telling her, you know what I'm saying? She was like, why would they call it not Ray's? And I was just telling her how, you know, it was a thing in New York City where they had a bunch of different Ray's pizza.
Right.
And then they... it was a thing. Right. You know what I'm saying? That everybody was just jumping on that raise, right. something raise.
Right.
And then theirs happened to be not raised.
Which was a smart flip.
Right.
That was slick.
So, but the thing is, they wanted to be associated with it because, you know what I'm saying, everybody raise already went to raise.
Which to this day, I forget where the exact real raise is. It's on it's like on 6th Avenue or some shit. Where's the real raise?
It was in Little Italy.
Is that the real raise?
That was the first one.
Oh, okay.
Because I actually went to Wikipedia as I was talking to her to get my story straight.
Oh, I like that. Had to vet your shit before
you
start.
Yeah, I was like, you know what I'm saying? Because I ain't really a New Yorker, so I had to catch up on what was really going on.
I can dig it. That's smart. That's smart.
But you know what I'm saying? Everybody want that association. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't, we not that, but you know what I'm saying? If you like that, but you don't want to be into that, then you can get to this.
Which is weird.
It's like Kim Kardashian, the black people.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? If you like fat booties and big lips and shit,
uh-huh.
you know what I'm saying? You'll like this, the alternative.
But you still want.
But
to,
you're still white.
Just, yeah, you still want to. You want to cash in all of that shit.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wow. want to be black till it's time to be black.
Ooh, man.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the same thing. Everybody want to be milk.
Well, shout out to.
But nobody don't want to motherfucking milk the cows.
Well, I think it also is indicative of where the money is. You know what I mean? Because you don't see the opposite. You don't see the meat industry
exactly.
Advertising to vegans and vegetarians going, hey, we got this beef that tastes like spinach.
Right.
Nah. And,
exactly.
In the streets, they call it short stopper. You know what I'm saying?
You just what you mean?
You short stopper. You trying to catch everybody before they get there. So, you know, you want to ride off what's already popping, but you want to catch them. You know what I'm saying? Before, you know, they not going to the meat, so you want to catch them by saying, hey, we like meat, but we not meat.
Right.
Come on over here. They short stopping out there.
Short
stop. Right.
I guess the milk industry, like, they tired of that shit. They about to spray out the block.
Is it called short stop because they play in the middle?
It's because they trying to catch everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Like a short stop.
Yeah, they trying to catch everybody in the middle. They stopping everybody short. Like, hey, before you get down there to the real players.
Yeah. Hilarious.
I got something for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know?
That's funny, man. Any fucking way.
Yeah, you don't see that, though. You never see the meat industry marketing to the...
That's a good-ass point. You definitely do not see that shit at all, man.
Which tells you where the money's at.
Exactly. Winning still.
That's exactly where the money's
at. This burger tastes just like kale.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Go ahead.
If it ever gets to the point where they can make a spinach burger that tastes like a real beef burger with the same nutrient profile...
Right.
Would you guys opt for that?
Of course. With the same nutrient profile as spinach, but it tastes like a burger.
No, tastes like a burger, right.
But I'm still getting the same nutrient value as if I was eating a fucking bowl of spinach.
Right.
Of course.
I mean, course, I'm going to put it all in the mix. I'm not going to be exclusively on no spinach burgers and shit, because I might want some, some real meat and shit. But
I hear what you're saying. But
you know, I ain't all. I'm not vegan.
Would you?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, back to Ali's point, this rocket caught up is that meat has a particular nutrient profile because it's made out of meat. So the proteins are set up a certain way. The fat content is made a certain way. You know what I mean?
That's what you be thinking.
Like, I think you just like saying nutrient profile.
I don't be thinking about that shit. I be hungry, and I'm like, you know what?
It's kind of like I hate to say this, but it's like a fake. This is so bad. I'm not gonna say it.
Say this shit. Say it.
You out there already? You crazy?
I know. You gotta go crazy for your fan. I know that the fake booby, you know, looks great and is firm.
Right.
But the real booby, nothing can replicate it. You know what I mean?
Booby. Man. Are we going with booby?
Man.
Booby. Yeah, the fake booby.
I read an article last week.
Say, Kato was like genitalia.
He's waiting in the wings. PG.
I read
an article about, you know, after you have to get a mastectomy, a double mastectomy or whatever, and they have improved the technology to where you could keep your nipple and all that stuff.
Right.
But then what I didn't know was that then they lose all the feelings. Even though they have a nipple, they have no feel. They're like numb across the chest.
Right.
So they lose all of the, the touch and the feel of the boobie.
So it's just aesthetic.
Yeah, it's just aesthetic. So who wins? You know what I'm saying? The person looking or the person wearing? You know what I mean? That was the point of the article. That's not my point. But when we're talking about, you know what I'm saying, the boobies and the fake boobies, like, is it Like, what if you got the nice looking boobies but they don't work? Like, what does it all mean?
I don't know. I think the boobie analogy might. I don't think it line up with the meat versus. What do you mean?
I think we. I thought we was off of meat. I thought we just we now had we slid off the titties and shit.
Oh, is that what we did? I appreciate it all. I'm just saying.
I mean, you know, I'm just following the conversation.
Oh, nah, I appreciate
the conversation went a certain way. We went with it.
I thought we was just using that as an analogy. Okay. I think that's what the analogy was. Spinach that tastes like beef. Is that the same thing as silicone versus real? And my thing is, the reason I would fuck with the spinach that tastes like beef that has the same nutrient profile as Vlad would say as spinach is because now you getting the enjoyment of eating some bullshit, but you eating something good. Right. And the thing is,
right?
And you gonna do that all the time?
I would have a fucking burger every so often. But if the shit tasted like a real burger, like if you couldn't tell. And I'm like, oh, shit, and I'm eating healthy? I might be off burgers. If it tastes for real like a burger, I'm done with burgers. I'm trying to live. That's the way I'm trying to find healthy shit that's sexy.
No doubt. As my grandma would say, if was a fifth, I'd be drunk right now.
How about that? I've also heard, if my aunt had a dick, she'd be my uncle.
Oh, man.
Anyway, man. But, you know, speaking of if, let's talk about this Super Bowl. How was it for you? Vlad, did you see it?
Vlad was a Patriot fan.
Well, the main question I want to ask you guys, can we put the fact that Brady is a cheater, whatever he is, can we put that to rest? I mean, the dude got the Deflategate out of the way, and he won the championship right
after. Yeah, all that, blah, blah, blah. Brady's the GOAT. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Next.
Right.
I've been saying, he's dope. He's good at it. I mean, I'm still.
Is he the GOAT? Can we just say he's the GOAT right now? Can we just say that off the bat?
If you want to.
Whatever.
I'm a Montana fan. I think I said that last week. I mean, if we looking on paper and we looking based on the achievement, maybe not on paper, but if we just looking at right now and what's going on, I mean, if he ain't the GOAT, he the closest thing to it. I mean, fuck it. He's that guy.
I'm right. Yep.
He can't beat the Giants in the Super Bowl, but beyond that.
Oh, pussy.
You know what I mean? But beyond that, he's a bad motherfucker. Because, so much so that when the score was, 28-3, and it felt like it was over, there was still a part of, I'll say for myself, there was still a part of me that was like, I can't count this kid out. I can't count him. And then I started seeing him doing the slow, quiet, you know, 2-point conversion here, like just slowly chipping away at that lead. I was like, uh-oh, this nigga about to play the electoral vote. He gonna win, and y'all ain't gonna like it. And that's what
hilarious.
Happened. That's what motherfucking
happened. Who is y'all?
There's a lot of, I'm talking about my people.
Did you like it?
I didn't give a fuck. I said that last week. I said, I hope it's a good, I want it to be a good game.
It was a good game.
Because I'm not, you know, I went to school out in Atlanta. Atlanta's like my second home, so I love it. But I'm not no sports fan like that. You know what I mean? I'm barely a New York sports fan. That's because I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm not that invested in sports. I'm definitely not going to jump on a bandwagon. But I was hoping may the best team win. But at the same time, I said last week, and I've been saying before, the kid is so good, it's undeniable. You know, and I also said it's almost like the motherfucking computer. Because then when you think you're going to beat them, somehow they beat you, and it feels like you've been cheated. And that's when you said they are cheaters. And they could be cheaters, but my motherfuckers won that shit. They won that shit.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
What?
This is what really fucks it up. I'm not even mad
what?
At Brady and the Patriots winning until they became aligned with Trump. That's what really kind of killed their shit off.
But that was before the game.
No, but I'm just saying that wasn't last season. It was this season. This is the new shit.
I mean, it was
because I done got past Deflategate. I was like, it is what it is.
He was definitely anti-Obama.
Yeah, because he didn't go to the shit.
He didn't go to the White House to see Obama.
Was he anti-Obama? He just didn't go to the thing.
He didn't go to it. He went to the Apple store.
Who didn't go? Brady?
Brady.
Really?
No, he didn't go.
But what was the reason for him not going?
He said he wanted to spend time with his family But he was at the Apple store. Yeah. Has he, Apple Watches and shit.
Has he ever gone to any of the White Houses when they won?
I don't know.
Because they won enough to where it's more than two presidents. That's how many times this motherfucker went.
I don't know. He didn't go. So.
But this is my thing, like. And I feel
fuck
like,
him.
I mean, it is what it is. I'm not apologizing for Brady or nothing.
Listen.
I just think
Brady did his thing. They won the game. It fucked up. You know what I'm saying? A momentous occasion for the nightlife scene on the black side of things.
This is the second black Super Bowl, maybe the third black Super Bowl.
There's a lot of black Super Bowls that didn't end up right.
That's been thwarted in the last minute.
The last time Atlanta went to the Super Bowl, the black. Black Super Bowl was thwarted.
But we put so much, like, last year.
Because you want to celebrate.
Because it's also because it's a Black History Month.
Yes, that's one. You want to celebrate. You want to see it happen.
So last year.
You've been down so long, you just want to win something.
Cam lost to Peyton. Mm-hmm. That was a black moment missed.
Mm-hmm.
Even the year before that, fucking Seattle, who they lose to? They lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Patriots.
Yeah, them motherfuckers.
Yeah, anyway. How was it for you? How was watching the Super Bowl? What was your experience?
Super Bowl was cool. I wasn't nowhere where I was going to be out in the streets, but my wife's from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it was a momentous occasion for her. Oh, shit. We about to go to Atlanta next week. It's going down. We're going to have a good time.
Oh, she was about to go.
Yeah, we was all gonna go. It's a motherfucking lip poke out at the house. This, you know what I'm saying? This is some moping around and shit. They done fucked up my week. Now I gotta deal with the sad Atlantean.
Now, is your wife just from Atlanta or is she an Atlanta Falcons fan?
My wife ain't no kind of sports fan.
Okay.
She from Atlanta.
There you go.
It don't matter. They was representing for the city. They was put on for the city. So Welcome to Atlanta where the players play.
Nah, man.
You know what I'm saying? No, she ain't. She don't even watch no damn football. So for me, why you upset? Because they lost. You know what I'm saying? But now you coming against a city and now it's a real problem.
Mm.
So now I got to just leave it alone. I'm so sorry for your loss. My condolences.
Oh man,
you know what I'm saying? So it's even more messed up when she's not a real fan,
right?
But she's sad.
That's what I'm saying.
Cause her city lost. Cause you know when you feel the energy, when you know what I'm saying, like these types of events, like sports, ain't just, you know what I'm saying, some cats running up and down the field.
It's drama.
It's drama, but it's people collectively coming together for something. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's just this one fucking game. It's how many people watch the fucking game?
A lot.
Like 100 million people. Yeah. 100 million people came together to watch this one shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a thing. So especially, and then when it comes down to a city, and then it comes down to a city like Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
which is like, you know what I'm saying, one of the blackest cities in America.
Right.
So that means you have way more connections to it just via the fact that you black.
But let me say this, because that's the point that I wanted to make. It became, and it's the last three, like I said, these are the last three black moments in the Super Bowl that were missed, right?
Mm-hmm.
It becomes such a politically charged, racially charged situation, right? My lady wasn't fucking with the Patriots because of Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when the Patriots won, I forget the name of the neo-Nazi that got knocked out. Fuck his
Richie.
Name.
Okay.
But anyway, the cat that got knocked out was like, you know, another win for the white race, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw that narrative and I'm like, get the fuck out of here with that shit because it's black people on both teams. The black motherfucker won the game that night for the Patriots. And like,
but do you look at the Patriots as a black team?
I don't look at Atlanta as a black team. I look at Atlanta as a black city.
But you don't see the undertones of what's going on and how things are put together and marketed.
Of course, if you want to look for that.
Not if you want to look for it. You think all these people are saying it's a black team just because it's black players on the team?
It's a black city.
It's a white quarterback.
Everything in Atlanta is black, but, damn near.
Okay. When I said this about the last 2 years, we've been talking about this shit.
Go ahead.
I said this about the Cavs versus the Warriors.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or if anybody plays the Spurs or the Mavericks. You know what I'm saying? It's always these undertones. You know what I'm saying? It's not like this is some new shit. that they made up for the Patriots.
But my thing
it
is
was,
this.
It was like that with the Boston Celtics versus the Lakers.
But the Boston Celtics, it was a lot. I mean, yeah.
There were black people on that team.
Absolutely.
A couple of them.
I hear that, but that's my thing. It becomes a sign. Obviously, New England, but that's because of the city and all of that shit
going
on.
It's the fans. It's the whole, just how the whole team is positioned. If you got the Patriots, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Versus the Falcons.
Represent, you know what I'm saying, the American, great America.
Okay.
Then you got the quarterback, the leader of the team is aligned with the president,
right,
who's trying to make America, quote unquote, great again.
I see that.
You know what I'm saying? It becomes a very charged situation off the rip.
If you want to accept it as that.
I don't really care, but I see what's real. I know.
I see it too, I worked in
marketing.
Right.
I understand how things are pushed.
Right.
So, you know, I see it. It's real. It ain't. It's not like it's, you could not look at it. It's a lot of Patriots fans that are black.
Right.
There's a lot of players on the teams that are black.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But overarchingly, the fans and the way the team is positioned.
Positioned, but don't say white. Marketed and positioned and then say real. Because it's marketing and position to make you feel that way, but it don't mean it is
but
real.
But if people buy into it, then if you go search the Twitter as the host.
People buying into the Muslim ban. That don't make it real.
It makes it real. It makes it real when a Muslim come through the motherfucking airport and they hold your ass in there for 4 hours. That makes it motherfucking real. As fuck. Because it's not just what they make the law. It's like, okay, this is what we own. All right, this is what we own.
So perception is reality to you?
Not to me, but in
it can't
in,
be real for
listen,
everyone else.
Listen,
and
listen,
not
listen,
for you.
Listen, listen. If they say, hey, all of the Muslims are bad, right?
Right.
And then your Muslim ass come through the airport,
right?
And you get to the damn desk, and they see your name, and then they motherfucking like, I bet you won't make this motherfucking plane.
Right.
I bet that. You know what I'm saying? Then they start dialing all hard, looking at you up and down, head to toe.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they got an attitude with you. They don't know you.
I hear that.
They don't know where you from. They don't know shit. But because the nation is in this state of, this is the enemy.
Right.
It becomes a real motherfucking issue when you had to deal with these people. When you had to go... Say you got on motherfucking your J's and your jeans and shit and your All Eyes on Me sweatshirt and you walking through the hood and motherfucker might want to say, you know what I'm saying, police roll up on you. It's his perception is you might be a drug dealer.
Right.
And you like, well, shit, I'm just coming through the hood. His perception becomes a fucking reality for you because now you got to deal with this shit. You know
it's not it's a real issue, but it's not the reality.
But it's a real issue is a real shit. It's real.
That you got to deal with, but it don't make the reality real. Like the fact
so
if you get stopped at the airport, does that mean as a Muslim you bad? That you're a terrorist?
No, but if
you got profiled and you had to deal with the inconvenience of being profiled, does that make you a terrorist?
No, it doesn't. But at the same time, you in the motherfucking airport, you got a motherfucking toddler in your hand, you got three motherfucking soldiers with M16 standing around you at your fucking check-in, it becomes a real fucking issue. When you had to go to the motherfucking police station in the airport to get the third degree, it's a real issue.
I'm not discounting
the fact. Because while you saying it's just perception and I'm not a bad guy, but you're not in a position to say that until you in a position to all the way lay all your shit out. Here's where I was born. Here's who my mama is. All that shit. That shit, you know what I'm saying? It's not a real thing for me, but it is a real fucking thing.
That don't make no sense. It's not a real thing for me, but it's a real thing.
You know, I mean, it's real.
There's a real issue.
Say you was trying to get paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
You did a show,
mm-hmm.
and you Damian Akbar.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of D Lemon.
Right.
And you go out, do your show, you know what I'm saying? You fly out there, you know what I'm saying? You might have $200 in your pocket.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not talking in real life. This is fake. This
no,
is
go
a supposition.
Ahead, go.
You got $200, you out there, shit, you know what I'm saying? You get your rent a car, now you might have, you know what I'm saying, $50, but you know you're getting paid.
Right.
They got a couple grand for you.
Right.
All right, we're going to wire it to you.
Right.
And they wire your motherfucking money, a few grand.
Uh-huh.
Shit don't get there.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Where my money? Well, we send it. And then you like, you call a fucking bank. And they're like, well, Akbar, you know what I'm saying? Your shit, State Department got your money. It's under investigation. We don't know what to tell you. And now you got fucking $50. You in fucking some other fucking town. It's a real fucking situation.
I hear what you're saying.
That's real shit, man.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, that you could be affected by a narrative that is promoted, that is propagated.
It has nothing to do with you.
Absolutely.
But everybody around you, if everybody around you buys into it, it affects you in real time.
But it don't make it real. That's what I'm saying.
Then what's real? If the shit is coming at you and this shit is happening, what's real?
I mean, it's whatever you...
Damon, are you saying which is agreed? Are you saying race is socially constructed?
No, I'm not. We're not. Hold. My thing is, there's a difference between reality and what we choose to accept as reality. Obviously, shit is fucked up. Shit is fucked up. But if we was just to submit to the shit being fucked up, we'd have been wrapped. We'd have been wrapped. That goes against every part of the struggle and everything.
Again, but why is it a struggle? Because you had to fight to make it the way you want it. You know what I'm saying? But until then, it's one way. Until you accept it's not that way.
You accept
now, no, it's not that you accept it. So you had to go through it until it's not that way.
Do you think that Muslims are more apt to be terrorists than any other person in the world?
No.
So I don't.
But see, I'm not the cause or the effect. But the effect is there. You know what I'm saying? It's people that believe that shit, which makes...
That's my point. That's the slippery slope.
It's always a slippery slope. Do you think black people are less smart than white people, or less apt to be able to do a job than white people, or are less valuable than white people when you go to do a job?
Not at all.
No, not at all.
But they try to promote that shit. And if people buy into the bullshit, that's what it becomes. Then, you can't accept it.
But you had to work through it, though. It ain't like you just going, because you don't accept it, it ain't there.
Yeah.
I don't accept a lot of shit that's still there.
One plus one
I don't
is
accept
two.
My wife being mad about the Atlanta Falcons losing. But it's there. I got to go deal with the shit.
That's, you know, actually real, though.
But it's the same shit.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's just my perception that she's tripping.
Are you saying perception is reality? That's what I'm asking.
It could be.
I said her. It depends. She being upset is real.
However many Trumpers buy into a real feeling that we got to make this shit great again and fuck the motherfucking Mexicans, fuck the motherfucking Muslims, you know what I'm saying? Fuck abortion, fuck all that shit. It makes a real situation. It's not like you can't ignore it because you don't believe it.
I'm not saying that you got to ignore it. I'm not saying that you got to ignore it. That's what I'm saying, that you got to pay attention to that and you got to fight against that. You can't accept that.
I'm not saying that you accept it as true, but you accept that it's a real situation that you're walking into.
I said that. I understand there's a difference between the situation and
then we agree to agree.
We don't agree on the same shit. No, we don't agree on that. No, we don't. I'm saying that there is a difference between perception and reality.
That's
what I'm saying.
But when people buy into the perception, it creates a reality. It's a certain reality that it creates. It's not like just because you don't believe the shit just is not there.
I'm not saying that it does, but that's a consequence. That's something that's brought to, that's something that's based
okay.
on.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead.
Perception is you got a fresh pair of Jordans, right. You know what I'm saying? You going out there stunting on them. Uh-huh. Is that a reality or is that your perception?
That I'm stunting on them, or I got a fresh pair of Jordans?
What were the Jordans? That Jordans do something. The Jordans mean something more than a pair of fucking sneakers.
It means what you want it to mean.
Does it mean what you want it to mean? Does it mean what everybody else believes it means?
It means what you want to believe. It's perceived value. Because there's a motherfucker, you walk in the same room, people wouldn't know what the fuck you
exactly.
had
exactly. But if you put on the Jordans, you know what I'm saying? Because you rock Jordans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Do you have any real reactions to a perceived value?
Real? What do you mean?
Do you have real reactions to a perceived value? When you come in with your fresh J's, maybe not this year, but when you first started wearing J's, you came in, was there a real reaction to your perceived value of the J's?
It depends. It depends on what I feel. Like, it's based
on... Have you ever experienced a real reaction to some J's?
A real reaction, saying like, "Oh, those are dope." Like, yeah, of course.
I got pussy off some J's.
Okay.
The first J's I ever got,
right?
The motherfucker said, "Woo, look, you got some J's."
Let me ask you a question.
That shit changed reality.
Let me ask you a question.
It was just a pair of sneakers, but the reality was that motherfuckers reacted to those sneakers in a way that made something real.
That's because that's the narrative that you want to buy, right? Because if you ask this woman why she fucked you, say, hey, babe, did you fuck me because of these Jordans? She might say, nah, I actually liked you.
She saw the Jordans before she saw me.
All right, that's cool.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm sure there's a bunch of other niggas walking around with Jordans not getting the same vagina.
I'm just saying that shit started a real situation without nothing else. So anytime you wore the Jordans, you realize that it was a different kind of reaction than when you wore another kind of sneaker.
I'll say perception can affect your life. It could affect your life. Does that make it real? No. You could pull up and you could rent a car. You could rent a car that you know this ain't your car. You go rent a Benz, come through a party, and pull some shit off the strength that you came through. Somebody thinks you got money. You don't got no money. You got a hookup at Enterprise. Your man, you got $32 in your pocket.
Okay.
Your man got a connect at the five-star hotel. Mm-hmm. You fuck at a five-star hotel. Mm-hmm. The perception is this nigga pulled up in the AMG kitted. We went to the London. We fucked. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, oh shit, this motherfucker got $32.
But in that moment,
it felt real, is what I'm saying. But it wasn't real.
In that moment, everything you did was real. That whole experience was real. You're going to never forget it.
The fucking was real. Yes.
The fucking was real. The experience was real. The fun you had, all of the motherfucking shit you was doing in the car that whole weekend.
But the narrative was real. Fake.
The narrative was fake, but the situation was real. So now you go home to your real other shit, but that moment was a real moment. You know what I'm saying?
What you think, Chris?
Well, I was going to say, because you said it right there, like, the Muslim ban is a false narrative. The, you know, like, oh, people are going to come over here and cause whatever. But to Ali's point, when he goes to the airport and they're like, hey, we got to talk to you for 4 hours, whatever, that is real.
The moment how it affects you is real. I didn't say that. I said this. I've been saying that the situation is real. But the fact of what they're selling you to create that moment, it's bullshit.
You're right, but
they spun bullshit to the point to where you bought into it. It takes people buying into bullshit to make it seem as it's real.
Yeah,
but
belief
it's fucking,
makes things real.
But that's what I'm but saying. Is it going to be people that buy into it? That's the whole point. If people buy into it, that makes that situation real. When the people buy into it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
It's a lot of fake shit. That just a lot of things we don't know if it's real or not. People buy into, that's real. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to go all the way down the rabbit hole with it, but it's a lot we do every day that's based on things we don't really know.
Right.
And it's real to us.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree. We still go with the perception based on the effect of the perception. That's what I'm saying. The perception is not real, but the effect could be a real moment.
That's what could happen. That's what I'm saying.
That's
the
what
effect.
I'm saying. But what thing is, that comes from somebody buying into the perception. And if the perception was created, and the perception was never real, but the perception was created, and it sold, people got. You know what I mean? And it's real to get got, but you still got. You still got duped. It fell for the shell game. The shit was never under the fucking shell at all.
But
the reality of the situation was there was no ball under that shell. But the other reality is you fucking bought into the fact that there was a ball somewhere and you lost money. Now that's the effect of being skewed by false reality.
But everything we know is false reality. Is race real? Is race real? Are we really different because he has a different color skin and different texture hair? You know what I'm saying? He got the same heart, the same fucking liver, and the same lungs and shit.
Right.
But we've been sold on the thing that race makes
us
different.
We've been sold on it.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. That's
but
my point.
At this point,
that's
it's
the
a
point.
Real fucking shit. I can't. This is a white.
We go to the circles now. We've been going to circles. I'm just saying, I think we, let's agree to disagree. I feel like what I'm saying is the effects, like you said, real situation, which is the effect. Is that could be real in that moment. That's real. You got to give that moment its justice. But the fact that set up that moment was some bullshit. And that wasn't real. But unfortunately, somebody bought into it, sold on it or whatever, and it created that. But that, you know what I mean? That's my point.
Exactly. Just how Trump in the White House. He a real fucking president right now.
He's absolutely a real president.
Awesome bullshit.
Yeah.
But it's real now.
It's real now. Vlad, are you there?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, it's a conversation of, you know, this is a philosophical discussion about the nature of reality and what reality is.
Right.
And this has been a topic debated, you know, to no end. Like, you know, there's films on this shit, The Matrix, you know what I mean?
Right.
And the challenge is that, I'm going to drop my two cents in here. You know, in reality, there's always the subjective and the objective experience.
Right.
A case in point is money. Money is simply paper.
Right.
But we subscribe value to it as a society.
That's good.
You know, yeah, and because we subscribe value to it, it ends up being a real entity that we have to use for exchanges and transactions. But without someone perceiving it, it's worthless. Someone has to perceive money. So a subjective entity has to perceive it in order to make it real.
Somebody got to buy into it.
So it needs perception. Something is not real until it's perceived.
Right. Now everybody got dupe. All right. we had to do is go pick fruit off the trees to live and survive, huh? Now we got to take this, find a way to take a middleman to give us some paper money.
You know, so that's so I guess what Damien is saying is you have to educate people to change their subjective understanding of reality.
But you ain't going to get them all.
But you have to start with the presumption that someone else has a different perception of reality.
They always do.
Correct. So,
and then you got.
You know, this.
Go ahead.
You know, but what we're talking about is serious. Like, it's serious shit. Like, you know, the perception of Muslims and black people that, you know, because what Trump is doing, he's replicating the Southern strategies that everyone's criminals. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's trying to criminalize people of color and therefore make that a real entity when it's not. It's bullshit.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And as we got to call bullshit on it early before people just say, submit to it.
Because they already submitted correct. To it.
Not everybody, though.
The ones that already believe it, they've been submitted to it. Yeah. It ain't like they were sitting around thinking, oh, these black people, they're so great.
We got
people that's been
people.
Sitting around saying these motherfuckers are criminals.
Yeah.
They've been sitting around for years.
That's true. That's true, but that don't make it true.
It don't. Like, yeah, I know that. We all know that.
But we don't all know that. Like you said, some people subscribe to one thing.
You, me, and
right, and then whoever else can hear this.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If my thing is, if we submit to the narrative that's false, then we fucking might as well be hopeless because now we can't even inspire what's going on. There's no agent of change. If a motherfucker told you 1 + 1 = 3, you know what I mean? And you know for sure, 1 + 1 = 2 like a motherfucker. But you just let everybody around you say, nah, Lee, I think you bullshit. I think you fucking up. That's 3. You sure? Nah, nigga, it's 3. Motherfucker put a gun to you. It's 3. Now it's real to you. So you might say, oh, fuck, I guess it's 3.
But see, that's not what I'm saying. That's what I'm not saying that everybody else's beliefs makes my reality. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that I have to deal with what's real in each individual scenario that I go into.
True indeed.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that, you know, I already know I can't go change everybody's mind. You know what I'm saying? But what I can do is go represent who the fuck I am. You know what I'm saying? When I go in any situation, I know when y'all go on these stages and shit, y'all in Colorado and Utah and all kind of shit.
Yeah.
I know you got to go in there and represent who you are
right.
to people who don't know who you are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing with me. You know what I mean? They might have a certain reality and they might have a certain perception. You know what I'm saying? I like to use the shit against them. I like to use it to my advantage. I like to use the perception to my advantage because once they really run the credentials and figure out what the fuck's happening,
they realize it's bullshit.
And then it's like it's overcompensated because, wait a minute, I was way wrong about this motherfucker here. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, I believe my reality is that we all live in a fucking big-ass costume show. You know what I'm saying? You could change clothes and create any kind of reality based on some shit that you got on that don't necessarily have to really motherfucking be true. You know what I'm saying? But so many people accept it as true, you go ahead and do it. If you go into a meeting, you got on a shirt and motherfucking tie, you might, hey, he looks good. He belongs here. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But you might be, you know what I'm saying, totally not belonging there. Mm. So, you know, it's all here. It's all there. You got realities here. You got cultures there. You know what I'm saying? If you go to China, certain ways you're going to act because that's how they act. And that's what they accept. And some things is insulting when you don't do it that way, which might be just some old bullshit-ass perception to you, but it's their real culture. That's all I'm saying.
It's crazy because, you know, what you're talking about is so fucking powerful what this conversation is about because, like, there's certain guys who have had different stances on this that have achieved different results. A case in point is a guy like Steve Jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
in his biography, there was a mention about, I forget what the term is, but he had this term about, I think it was called like magical reality or something like that, where he basically said, this is what's going to happen. And he forced his staff to do it. They said, hey, we can't do that. And he was like, no, this is already, it's already happened. It already exists. Right. You just got to do it.
That's like, go ahead, keep going. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead. It's like,
finish your point. I got you.
Well, it's that conversation that belief can become reality. It's such a fluid thing. But again, you know, Dr. King, you know, he fought to change what people thought was real about black people, you know?
Right.
So it's a fluid thing, and I think it does exist within different truth exists in context. I mean, is there a hard truth? Yes, but at the same time, it does exist in context that we have to negotiate with.
Right, right, and I agree with that. And it's what you accept too. Like, so to that point, I think Don Miguel Ruiz, the guy that wrote the Four Agreements, if you read his book, I think he says life is a dream. Like, he feels like when the living mind, when we awake, the awake mind, we're actually just in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we see real is what we accept is real. You know what I mean? So then when they say, don't take everything personal, because if you take that person, that becomes real to you because you've accepted it. You've submitted to it. So, yeah, it does get, it gets gray, gets fluid, you know. But like I said, I feel like it's what I think there's a difference still between reality and shit that's created to become reality. I think the reality is Atlanta, that's a black ass city, but that don't mean that fucking Atlanta, unless we go do the numbers, may be a blacker team than New England. You know what I'm saying? Shit, it might be 61 motherfuckers that's black on New England. It might be 54.
Right, but
it feel blacker.
It's the city, it's the fans, it's the fan base, it's the culture around the team.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, we did that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that was a real debate.
Well, Damien, I hate to force a segue on
this. Then talk. Go ahead.
No, but like, you know, I'm trying to watch it, but you said you saw it already, which is the James Baldwin.
Yeah, I Am Not Your Negro.
Which I think is a good segue to what we're talking about.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I mean, it was a great film. I wish I could see the shit again. I seen the shit up at fucking Magic, and motherfuckers was loud as shit in the back. It was these two motherfuckers talking in the Baldwin movie.
What are they talking about?
That's my thing.
What are you?
This is the bullshit. Because
it's a documentary.
It's an uplifting. It's for the people. It's, you know what I mean. I'm like, fuck. I like to go to Magic Johnson because I want to support the community. But I swear, these two motherfuckers behind me, it was like, you know how you say, yo, let's grab a drink so we could talk. They was like, yo, let's go to the movies to have a fucking conversation. When I got in, it's one of them now, every new movie now, the movies now is, it's assigned seats. You know what I'm saying? You got, not even, that used to be the fly shit, the ones where you could lay back and all of that. But now it's the regular hardback shit. Now it's all assigned seats. So you got to pick your seat. And then, you know, you can't just be moving about, or you could maybe 20, 30 minutes in, but there's assigned seats now, right? So I got these cats sitting behind me. And they was talking from the door. Like, I don't know, at first, and this is the crazy shit, they talking and shit, and I can't really see it because it's dark when I got in there. The movie hadn't started, but it's dark. I see these motherfuckers is talking. I'm like, it's going to be some motherfuckers talking. They right next to me and shit. I'm like, goddamn, I want to move over, but there's no real places to go. So these motherfuckers is moving. And I'm doing look back, you know what I mean? I don't, you know, but I waited out first. I'm like, we through the previews. And you could tell this motherfucker talking all about his life is him. And some woman, they just chopping it up. Yeah.
You supposed to go ahead.
He was like, and you know, he telling all these stories. And then you could tell it was like somebody might have got fired or some shit. He was like unburdening himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's the motherfucker told me. So I'm thinking, all right, when we get to the movie, hopefully this will tamp down, right? So then we getting into the movie, then it comes another little blow up, maybe two rows behind. This one woman was real proactive. Because a group of young kids came in, some young teens came in right before the movie was going to start, maybe like 15 young dudes and shit, like 15, 16 or whatever. And, you know, obviously it was cool to bring some young teenagers to go see the Baldwin movie, but they come in like young teenagers, loud as shit. So this one shorty was like, hey, we're not going to have all of that talking. So that turns into a whole hostile situation. They beef. wow, 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 nobody ain't talking. I know these people because they got a little group leader or whatever, people who settled down again. So for a minute, there's no talking, right? And then what happens is these motherfuckers behind me, they talking, and then they like, they touch base with the movie every so often. they not even in the movie. They talking about, yeah, you know, fucking Gerald, you know, he got into a fight with motherfucking Malcolm. That nigga Malcolm smacked the shit out of Joe. Get the fuck out. Hey, who that? It was Malcolm X. Like, they show Malcolm X dead body. Is that Malcolm X? Oh, shit. That's fucked up. Anyway, so, like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, this shit is killing me because this is, like, a poignant movie that means some shit. We look, and I'm like, excuse me. Oh, I'm, you know, I think, you know, I'm trying to keep, could y'all keep your voice down? Oh, all right, brother, you know. Now you start to look like the motherfucker that's called, you know, you don't want to be the fucking shush police.
Well, you know, shush police with, man, shut the fuck up.
It could go to that too, but do you want to do that at the motherfucking James Baldwin shit? Yeah. But this the second time. Nah, you don't want to be the motherfucking wilding at the James. Because now you're going to be, the reality is, you gonna look like
that's
that?
Just, that's
the
your
thing
perception.
Is,
the reality is they gonna shut the fuck up.
It depends. It depends. Now, what you tussling in the James Baldwin movie? Yo, you know, Mr. Muhammad got into a fight at the motherfucking James Baldwin movie. Yep. That nigga's a brute. He's a demon.
Demon.
Anyway,
I am your Negro.
Yeah, exactly. I'm that nigga because I think that it was supposed
I'm
to be
your Negro. I am that Negro.
Right, right. I am that nigga.
I'm that nigga.
Exactly.
I am.
That's the sequel. Oh my God. Your worst nightmare.
That one.
I am that nigga.
I am that Negro. Yeah.
I mean, we was talking about this the other day.
Good.
And we was doing this shoot. Shout out to Sean P, director of photography, and we're shooting this Martin Luther, the soul singer, shooting a video up in the studio. And then they were telling the story about how they were in Oakland one time, and they were in this late night spot that sells hamburgers and shit, but they had the desserts.
Right.
So they were in there, and it was a long-ass line. Everybody was in there, and this one motherfucker came in, walked past the line, went all the way up to the counter, and then, you know, order, I need 4 hot dogs. Uh-huh. And then dude at the counter is like, yo, sir, you know, it's a line, da-da-da-da-da.
He turned around, like, fuck this line.
He turned around, looked at the line, turned back to the man at the counter, like, bet not nobody in here oppose me.
This whole line is pussy.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody bet not oppose me. Now, in that moment, it's a high percentage chance he gonna get that off. Because, you know what I'm saying? You in there. You don't want to call the scene. You don't want to fucking scuff up your Jordans. Nah. You don't want to get shanked over a hot dog.
In the context in which my man moves in, it's either zero to conflict or I ain't got, nigga, listen.
Exactly.
I came in here with four hot dogs. I ain't got nothing to lose.
Nothing.
You know
what I'm saying? High percentage chance the motherfucker who said it is gonna get it off.
Right.
Cause nobody really, even the talking motherfuckers, they really, 9 times out of 10, they don't really want no problems.
Right,
they just
in
the, you know what I'm saying? Now you might catch that one motherfucker
that wants
the problem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the odds are against, even though the numbers are against this one motherfucker coming, you got a whole line full of motherfuckers that could just jump on him.
Right.
But who gonna jump first?
Right, you gotta be that.
who gonna come behind you?
That's the movement.
if it get fucked up, gonna come behind you?
That's a perfect analogy for the movement.
Exactly. So
who gonna be the first one? Because the first one might get their ass.
Might get it. And if nobody come to back them up,
I thought we were in this together.
It's a moot point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I took that. I was like, yeah, that's a great story. I want to add that to my rapport of shit. You know what I'm saying? Not that I'm gonna go in nowhere and say, who gonna oppose me?
Right.
But that's, I'm gonna put that in my attitude when I go into money meetings and shit.
Right.
I wanna have that type of attitude. You know what I'm saying? Even though I might be saying big words and nice, perfect English, I wanna have that who dares oppose me
right.
attitude. You
if
know what I'm saying?
Not meeting who?
Exactly. Cause like right now in my meetings, I got a little dude in the back of my head. He got a bunch of gold teeth. He's from Miami. He like represents a prototypical Miami dude.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, he's my spirit when I go in to go get the money.
How's he manifest himself in the meetings?
You know what I'm saying? He just walk into the meeting knowing that, okay, I'm coming in here, I'm getting this money, and I'm leaving up out of here.
What's his mantra?
You know, I don't know if he got no mantra. He just, it's a, if you can't see it. So in Miami, like when you got a whole bunch of gold teeth, you know, even when you ain't got no gold teeth, this is like a little head shake thing that you do. You show your grill and you shake your head, but you can't see me, so it's hard to explain. But that's he doing that the whole time I'm in the meeting. When I go into the building, I know I'm coming out of this motherfucker with some money. That's how I feel.
I could dig it. Tap it to your real nigga Ed.
Right. So now I'm gonna give the real nigga in my head that mantra. Mm-hmm. Bet not nobody oppose me.
Who's me?
You know what I'm saying? Can't be
opposed. I want the problem.
I want the problem.
All right.
Well, I want the problem.
Oh, you're a little too aggressive, sir. Speak to you in another engagement.
You have to filter it through. Use that as your spirit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to use energy.
Can feel it. You can feel a motherfucker start articulating and enunciating it real tight with conviction. What I want to do.
Here goes one of these fine lines between perception and reality things. When you fucking with energy.
Yep.
And you come into a space with a certain energy, that shit ain't real per se. That's just how you fucking feel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It just might be just your perception of who I am today. I'm looking good, feeling good. I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Right.
I came to get this money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It ain't nothing you could say. It's just you. That's how you feel. You put that energy in the room.
You put it into the room.
And then a lot of time the room give you the energy back. You know what I'm saying? And then it becomes a real check. Even though it was some, you know what I'm saying, some trumped up shit you made up in your head.
And I think added to that, the active part of that is you're not going to accept no other energy. You know what I mean? Uh-uh. Like you ever feel yourself and you get into a situation, it might be a high stakes situation, right? You might have to go in with a couple people you pitching with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Vlad, you're about to showcase. It's a big opportunity up for grabs, and it's a few other comics that are also in the motherfucking mix. And now you feeling yourself, you feel good, you feel prepared, you ready to close, right? You ready to get what's yours. And you start get into a little scrub of a fucking weird energy, manic energy, negative energy. You kind of got to either shake that shit off, part yourself from it. There's an active part right then to where you say, I could be bitter, I could be manic, I could be on some bullshit with the rest of this energy, or I could be like, nah, I'm good. I feel it. And maybe. You might have to fight that. You might have to people be like, yo, why are you so excited? You ain't nervous?
I'm shining, B.
I'm good.
I'm shining, B.
Motherfuckers be scared of that.
You know what I'm saying? Get up off me. Get up off me. Better not oppose this shine, baby.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's a term for that, which is hilarious.
You coming with the scientifics.
What's the term?
There's a term. I think it was Carl Jung. As you know, he was a psychologist. And Carl Jung had a theory about, well, we all have a shadow.
Yeah.
And the shadow represents different things. There's different aspects of the shadow. But one version of the shadow is the person you would be if you had no inhibitions.
Right.
And he suggests that you have to summon that person up at different times.
Yeah, yeah.
Get your Kanye. Yeah, yeah.
And it looks different. It looks different for everybody, but it's called the shadow. You have an evil shadow. You have a shadow for other things. But like the evil shadow is the dude you would be if you had no restrictions, and you have to leverage and use that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now you got to tap into your shadow.
Nah, man, it's just, you know, and all that shit is perceived shit in your mind. You know what I'm saying? That you turn into some real shit when you need to.
You got to accept it. You got to let that, you got to engage it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that changes. Wherever, you know what I'm saying, your different situations, it change.
What else is good?
Life.
Nothing. I'm trying to go see. I saw Hidden Figures this week.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great film. It was very well done. And it actually, I think it surpassed La La Land in terms of domestic ticket sales.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dope.
So it was the one Oscar nominated film within the Oscar nominated film group. I think it's the top earner or something.
It's the highest grossing.
Hundred and something million.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of blockbusters in the Oscars this year. It's a lot of small films. A lot of not grossing ass films.
Yeah, I mean, and even 100 million is not blockbuster status.
Right,
it's a lot of fucking money, but you know what I'm saying.
It's a lot of niche.
It's not Avatar.
Yeah, it's a lot of indies.
You know what I'm saying? Shit, like as much Oscar talk as Moonlight is getting, it was like at 13 million or something like that.
Yeah, it's not doing that good.
I mean, because it didn't play in a lot of places, but you know what I'm saying? I guess that ain't really the point.
Right. It's
an interesting. And what's your name is in it too, man? What's your name is in it too? What's his name? Maharla Ali? What's his
Mahershala.
Name?
Mahershala, man. We done did this already.
We do it Mahershala. Every week.
Mahershala. We did this already.
I think we got to find out what the official.
I thought you said that was the original.
I thought it was, but y'all still doubted me. I'm going with Mahershala.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right, well, shit. Let it be reality.
Loud and strong.
It is.
Hope we ain't wrong.
Mahershala's in there. He's getting some love. And I gotta tell you, man. He's in Hidden Figures.
Was he?
In Hidden Figures.
Yeah. He's in Hidden Figures.
Oh, right. He holler at Janelle Monáe, right? Taraji, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He's in Hidden Figures.
He's getting he's out there.
Yeah, he plays the whole fucking game on lock.
That's what I'm saying, man.
He working.
This dude, and he plays a good man.
He's a good man.
That's a good man.
That's what it said on the script. Hearing.
Perceived a real
good man.
He's a good man. He goes to church. You know what I mean? But yeah, he's getting a lot of love right now, man.
He's good, man. Man, he working hard for it, man.
I love Janelle Monáe. I got to be honest with you, man.
I love Janelle Monáe, but I didn't like her in Moonlight. But I you know what I'm saying? I like what she's doing in these other joints.
I like that she's getting work. She got at least two under her belt, like quick, fast. You know what I mean? Like she stepped out and is getting it in. You know, shout out to Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, Janelle Monáe got the movement.
There's a clip of Janelle Monáe performing Tightrope at the White House.
Yeah.
Trump House or the Obama House?
Obama House.
You know, Janelle Monáe.
And I love that song, Tightrope. Damon, you put me onto that song a while ago.
Uh-huh.
And I love when she performs it live, because that song is so, like, high intensity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just funny. We watch that video, you'll see it's funny how people respond to that song in that kind of setting.
Yeah.
Some people are very tight. They're like, oh, we don't know if we should.
Yeah, put that on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I put it up. And she's going in, you know what I mean? She don't hold back.
Yeah, she go hard.
Oh, shit. Yeah, man.
What else? What's cracking, y'all?
Hey, man.
It's almost Valentine's Day, y'all. I don't know what y'all doing, but
love is I don't celebrate Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
My
it's not real.
My anniversary is the next week, so we skip it.
I feel like it gets
kind of skip. I might do something. I might surprise her, cuz we usually just skip that shit. Mm. I might be trying to get some extra points or something. Mm. So I might do something.
I feel like it gets in the way of Black History Month, you know?
Really?
St. Valentine ain't free no slaves. You know what I mean?
Really?
We got to stay
focused.
That's
what your girl say?
Hey, man. Happy Black History Month. That's what we celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ask the people. For real. That's true. That is documented.
Hallmark,
I am not your Negro. Anyway, shit. What you doing for Valentine's Day, Vlad? You gonna be in the streets? You got a Valentine?
I got nah, man. I'm working this year actually. So I'm just
that's a good Valentine's date. Go to the comedy show, ain't it?
It's a great date.
As a participant, but not as like the comic. Not the comic.
I'm just saying, but a lot of people go out on dates to go to comedy shows and shit.
Yeah, that's always a good date.
I saw Marvin Dixon having a Valentine's Day comedy show.
That's what's up.
What do you call it? My Funny Valentine.
Okay.
Jacksonville, I think. Hey, I saw that right before I came in on Facebook.
Listen, man. Anything could be manipulated to have a good-ass comedy show. Trust me.
I mean, a lot of places in a lot of cities, I know being in Miami and like places like that, you know what I'm saying? The comedy show, especially if depending on what night Valentine falls on.
Right.
Comedy show is a date. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's just like the prototypical, like... Like somebody like Marvin Dixon, he started a Tuesday night in Miami that was just, it was an institution. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to do something Tuesday night? That's a perfect date.
Fall through there.
Fall through the comedy show. You know what I'm saying? Y'all good. Sit down, eat, have a drink.
Right.
And that was what you did. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a place like New York where it's just so much stuff, but like that was like an institution to go to Marvin Dixon comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, it makes sense just for that to be like a little date situation.
Yeah. No, comedy's always a good date. It's always a good date. I think so.
You know, I mean, I would hope you think
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
They don't give you your single date or whatever. Bring your ass to the show.
What you think, Vlad?
I agree. I just never it's always nice when you get a comic who's really been in love and been through the trials and tribulations of love, and they can really get into it with the audience. Like, I've seen some Valentine's Day shows where it becomes almost like a church, you know what I mean? Mm. And it can get uplifting, and you walk out of there feeling like, yeah, you know what, maybe let me go look for some love. But then it's the opposite kind where just like they just beat you down, like love stinks and I hate my wife.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You, you walk out of there going like, shit.
You ever been in love?
Yeah, yeah. I've been in love. I've been in love. You know, it's a gift and a curse. Not a curse, but it's, you know.
Love is a tricky thing, man.
Yeah, man.
It's a tricky thing, man.
You know what I'm saying? Because where the fuck do you learn how to love? Like, where do you do that?
I don't know.
It's not real, Ali.
I mean, okay, we could go there. We could go all philosophical with the shit. But where the fuck do you learn it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I first experienced love and shit, I realized I didn't know shit about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point, man. That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Great
like,
point.
Like, I feel it.
That is a great point.
But I don't know how to work this. You know what I'm saying? This is odd. And I don't have no real good examples and shit.
It's abstract.
You know what I'm saying? It's an abstract situation.
Right.
Ain't really, you know what I'm saying? Like, love at the house, you know what I'm saying? You got a single parent and shit. I live with my pops, too, so it was, you know what I'm saying, that much more off the chain. It's like, love at the house is really just, you know what I'm saying? You can come in, you accept it here, you can eat here without right. no motherfucking question. You right. can watch the TV soak up the AC, you know what I'm saying? Because we love you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But other than that, it's like, you know what I'm saying? What is this thing?
It's however you want to, whatever you want to give it.
Until you get in a relationship and then it's these expectations of what you're supposed to give it.
But that's based on those expectations.
Right.
That's based on that specific relationship, because you could leave that relationship and love could be a whole different thing. It could be, you know, manifested a whole different way.
Exactly.
You know, it's like music or art. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? What makes art art? What makes music a song? What makes a song?
Right.
You know what I mean? What makes love love? And then you go to the next shit. But you got love, and then you got unconditional love, and then, you know what I mean?
Where'd you learn love?
I don't know if I... You learn every day. You learn every day. You learn through who you love. So I guess you start with, you know, your first love. If it's your parents, if it's your family, you learn love in that aspect. You learn how to give and receive love. And then mm-hmm. as you start to date, you start learning love through that. You start to learn, well, I don't know if I like love that way. Mm-hmm. I like love like this. That love felt a little conditional. Or that love had, I wasn't into this. You know what I mean? But love is whatever you accept it as, because that's a personal thing. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things that when you feel it, like that, like being in love, you're like, oh shit, I might be in love. Oh, I think I'm in love like a motherfucker. You know it when it hits you. It's fucking undeniable in the moment, but it's very hard to articulate oftentimes.
Yeah. And then it's hard to reconcile that shit when you don't really know what the fuck you're doing.
Well, see, the other thing I think people don't realize is real love, that shit come with work. It's a lot of work attached to love.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? But
when you don't know,
they don't put that in the card.
Nah, they don't. They don't show that shit in the movie.
Mm-mm.
None of that shit. They just show the kissing and motherfucking looking in your eyes and tearing up the bedroom and shit. But shit, that shit is some day to day actual work.
Where'd you learn love?
Honestly, I learned love in a lot of different places, right. And then I made a composite.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Cause you would talk, I would talk to different people, and then I would realize things that was going on in their house that I was like, damn, that shit don't happen in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Your mama and your daddy live there, and then y'all
they like each other.
Y'all bought y'all daddy a car for his birthday. Damn, that's
balling.
That's some real. I mean, it ain't one like they was rich. It was just like everybody chipped in because we love daddy so much. It's like, damn, I ain't never seen that. Everybody I know go to the beauty parlor and talk about my daddy and shit.
Right.
This motherfucker. Uh-huh. So it was like, damn, that's interesting.
Right.
I want my shit to be like that. Uh-huh. I want my kids to feel like that about me.
I need that four-door love.
I need that shit right there. I know I'm just saying, I just need that shit where motherfuckers ain't talking bad about you in the streets.
What, respect?
You know what I'm saying? You want some real shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to be fighting in your own house and shit. Motherfuckers talking shit.
Yeah.
So I added that. All right, I'm going to take that.
Uh-huh.
Then, you know what I'm saying, you go talk to somebody else. And da-da-da-da-da. They might not have two parents, but they might do a certain other thing that it's like, oh, man, I like that too. I'm going to take a little bit of that.
Right.
So by the time I found somebody that I was in love with and I actually had to put down my family with, I started activating all of these little things that I had put together right. in a little collection.
Right.
Like, all right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to activate them shits. And then you start working. But the hardest part about love is the shit that nobody sees, nobody talks about is the unseen shit. It's just the things you had to go through to keep it working, to keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? The things that you had to, like when they started, you motherfuckers like to throw out unconditional and loyalty and all that shit. Until you had to really do that shit.
Yeah.
When you had to really be unconditional and shit and love and be okay with shit, even though you don't like that shit. Even though that motherfucker might have said something bad about your mama, mm-hmm. but it was real, but you don't want to accept it because it's your mama. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But then you still got to love. Like, you gotta really get mature with your shit.
You got to learn to love not just you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's a different
thing. And when you're in a relationship, the real shit is, like, especially like when you're in a marriage where you can't just run away and go to your apartment or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You realize that you are living in a fucking mirror. And it's a mirror that show you all the bad shit, not just all your good shit. Like, you know, you go to the mirror, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm fly. Look at my shoes and shit. Right. Nah, this shit show you all that other shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The shit you weren't even thinking about.
Got your shit in your teeth.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why you do that? You be like, damn, I didn't even notice I did that type shit.
Right.
But that's you. And now you got to make a decision. You know what I'm saying? Do I work on that and change? Or shit, this motherfucker just love that I do that shit. And every little thing you had to negotiate.
Right.
And you negotiate that shit with yourself. And if you want that shit to work, you're going to be doing a lot of work on yourself. And, you know what I'm saying? And getting to a point where you okay with all the shit that you got. You know what I'm saying? And then that shit is work, though, man. That's some hard-ass shit when you had to fucking fix yourself.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And most of them, you don't want to fix shit. I don't want to fix shit. I'm good.
Yeah.
But
he's stubborn ass.
But if you want this shit to work, you're going to have to fix something because most of the problems you have in your relationships are not fucking actions that they're doing to you or against you. It's reactions to some shit you did or just how you are. You know what I'm saying? On both sides. You know what I'm saying? Most motherfuckers is just reacting like to shit. And the shit you fussing about don't be the real shit that's really the fucking problem. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You might be fussing about the dishes and shit, but the real shit is that you came home smelling like liquor last night. You know what I'm saying? Because you was at the podcast drinking with Damien and them motherfuckers.
Incriminated the shit
out of them. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know what I'm saying, they father might have been an alcoholic and shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that set off bad vibes, but that ain't what they saying. They saying you is out here fucking up when you was just fucking drinking a beer, talking good shit on the podcast to the people.
I felt like that was a subliminal.
It's not subliminal. It's real shit. Y'all know I'm talking about me.
Hey,
you know what
I'm saying? Vlad, how'd you find love?
I'm still finding it, man.
Right.
I'm still finding it. You know, it's a combination of being vulnerable with somebody, you know, because you know it's weird. I think I feel like we, based on our individual backgrounds, we all have mechanisms to protect ourselves,
right?
And those mechanisms actually push you away from people in certain instances, you know. So sometimes you can sabotage love because you see it, but you sabotage it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get wiser and more experienced, you start to realize your habits. Back to Ali's point about it being a mirror. And then you start to learn, like, that kind of love is better than this other love I had, you know.
Right, because you want to control shit when you don't know. You want to make shit happen. You want to be able to say, all right, I could be like this and make it move the way I want it to move.
And the reality is you can't control.
In love, you got to let that shit go. You got to let it be. And you know what I'm saying? You got to find a way of being within that shit. And once you free with the shit, it feels a whole lot much better, and it's a whole lot less work, because you if you could find somebody that could take you and understand you for the real shit that you talking, and you real with it, then you ain't got shit to prove. You just moving through life like energy.
Speaking of love, do you know that a fucking Cheeto that looked like Harambe sold for $100,000?
Yeah, I saw that shit.
That's love.
That's love like of what? That's
love of some bullshit.
Perceived value of a fucking Cheeto.
Oh, that shit is worth $100,000. That shit sold. That is reality like a motherfucker.
Ain't it?
That's a great point, though. That's a great point.
Hey.
That shit's bananas.
But in real life, it's just a Cheeto.
It's just a Cheeto. $100,000
Cheeto. $100,000
Cheeto. That kind of look like Harambe.
And even $100,000 ain't even some, it's just some fucking paper.
That's a real $100,000.
You accept that shit.
yeah, we could spend it.
No doubt.
Shit. What else is going on, man? You said, I think, Ali, you was talking about, you talk about a bunch of shit. You talk about some, does it get greater later?
Yeah. I was just pondering life in a way that, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting a little older.
We all are.
I'm getting into the OG status and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And you start to wonder, like, you know what I'm saying, what's left? You know what I'm saying? Like, the clock, time is getting shorter. You know what I'm saying? Is it getting better? Or do you just start a slow decline into, you know what I'm saying? Right. Motherfuckers not fucking with you and you're drooling on yourself and shit.
What's your biggest fear of getting older? Is that what it is? Like, people not fucking with you no more?
My biggest fear of getting older, yeah, is not... You know what I'm saying? Not being in a place where people fuck with you. Like, you know what I'm saying? People don't come check you. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just off in the corner, waking up.
Irrelevant.
Going to bed till you're dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't think I'm going to be that, because I just can't do it. You know what I'm saying? So... When I was young, man, I used to look at my grandma and shit. You know what I'm saying? She might have been 50 something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, damn, why she ain't got no friends? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not that she ain't had no friends, but it was like, you know, as a kid, you got a whole bunch of friends. It's like people coming through, like you going out to play every day. And she older, she was just chilling. But then, you know, as you get older, you understand people chill, but it just set off an idea in my mind, like, shit, man, I don't wanna be a motherfucker. Nobody ain't checking on and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would just be dead and been dead 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Nobody like, huh?
that's the worst. So, you know what I'm afterthought ass dead.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Oh, damn. But you understand that to get to that point where people still fucking with you, it take work.
You gotta live like that.
You gotta
that
live
now.
Like that. You know what I'm saying? You gotta live. You gotta fuck with people. You know what I'm saying? You gotta put that value in the world where you fucking with people and people fucking with you. All the way through.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't just pop up at 85 like, hey, come fuck with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
We ain't never fucked with you for 50 like, years.
Like, I ain't talked to your ass since the 90s.
Come on, pop. Nobody fucking with you.
So, you know what I'm saying? I try to incorporate that type of thought into my everyday relationships, just make my connections more meaningful. That's all. What's your fears, man?
I don't want to. You know what my fear is? I fear if I had that, if I thought about it, it's two. I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want dementia. I don't want to forget shit and not know where I leave. When I leave the house, I don't know how to get back home and shit. Like, I don't want to be that motherfucker. And I don't want to be like a burden either. You know, after a while, you got so much pride when you're young and just as a person in general. I don't want to be old to where you got to fucking wipe my ass and, you know what I mean, and do all of that extra shit. It could happen.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing is, either you get old or you die.
You get old.
You know what I mean? But I want to have the dignity. In the eulogy, they be like, well, shit. All the way to the end, that nigga Damien was wiping his own ass. He ain't never asked nobody to wipe their ass. I swear, that's one thing about D.
Hey.
I don't know, but I think about probably that. I hear you on the irrelevant shit, but
not,
I feel
not
like...
irrelevant, just...
Nobody checking
no,
for
just,
you.
No, just fucking a lonely existence.
I think that comes when you... you wall yourself off. Like, if you just a motherfucker that's just always about having people over and having a good time, and you kicking it and you touching base with people, hey, how you been? And you letting them know what you been up to.
Right.
They you always going to be in the conversation.
Yeah, having meaningful relationships.
You
man.
Know what I mean? If you got a podcast dropping every Wednesday.
You know what I'm saying?
They know you still alive.
And, you know, yeah, it's, you know, you might have a situation where you got to wear the diaper and shit. You know what I'm saying? You get right. old. But my thing is, in my motherfucking plan, I want to have, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to have a fund, you know what I'm saying? Healthcare, which means an ass wiper.
You want a sexy ass wiper.
No, not even a sexy ass wiper, but
soft hands.
Like you said, being a burden, you don't want to be a fucking burden, so you want to be able to pay motherfucker to do the shit. Listen, so you got to be thinking about that shit.
Wiping ass is wiping ass. You know what I'm saying? Whether you get paid or not. It's either love or it's for money.
Hey.
Wiping ass is still wiping
ass. But you're going to need that ass wiped.
Yeah.
And love might fail you.
Yeah. But don't expect no intimacy if you paying for somebody to wipe your ass.
Yeah, that part ain't for intimacy. That's strictly for getting the ass wiped so you don't have the itches.
But what my point is, when somebody else got to wipe your ass, it's still
that happens, man.
Shit happens.
You might be drooling, motherfucker. Had to wipe your drool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But hey. You want to be prepared for that type of shit. You don't want to go into the shit not thinking about the shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just going to be good the whole time.
Ass wipers on deck.
Ass wipers on deck.
Prince Hakeem. At least three of them.
Prince Hakeem fund. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, yo, let us know what your biggest fear is of getting old. You know? Shit. You got anything else you want to say before we transform and roll out?
I like to say thank you for listening to the conversation and, you know, indulging us in healthy debate.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? As we sit on a Tuesday night for us, Wednesday for you,
mm-hmm.
drinking beers, talking shit.
There you go. You going to be anywhere? You in the world anywhere?
I'm going to be in some buildings with my gold tooth dude, daring a motherfucker to oppose me
uh-huh.
for the next couple of days. Then, you know, we hitting New Orleans for All-Star next week. But I talk to y'all before we do that.
Okay. All right. Right. Well, that's what it is. Right. Well, shit, let me tell y'all where I'm going to be. Tonight, I'm going to be at The Stand on the 10 o'clock show. Y'all should check that out. But beyond that, if we're going to get a little bit more national with the people, I'll be at Comedy Off Broadway in Lexington, Kentucky, February 23rd to the 26th. I'll be at Draft House Comedy Theater in D.C., March 16th through the 18th. And I'll be in Poughkeepsie on March 25th. So get tickets because we're trying to sell that shit out.
Right,
I was trying to talk through a beer burger. Yeah, tell your people to come through and shit. But as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out!
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.